Good morning. Here we are on Sunday morning, and it's kind of awkward, I know, for us to you be at home and me be at church, but the next couple of Sundays will be a little different for all of us, and I don't know if that's going to be good or bad, but we're doing this to try to prevent anybody from getting sick. And so we first of all, we want to honor the Lord, and we also want to be good citizens in our community and to our country. And so I think everybody understands the times and why we are doing what we're doing. So we appreciate your patience, and we just thank you for praying for us as we pray for you. I'd like to begin this morning with a word of prayer, and then I'm going to be reading from 1 Samuel chapter 30. So let's pray. Father, we ask that you would guide our hearts and that we would be ever mindful of what you would have for us to hear, for us to know. And Father, that we'd be obedient to your word. Father, I pray that you'll encourage us this morning and in this day. I pray, Father, that you will just bless our people, strengthen them, and may we all be better Christians and better followers of you, having been with you today. Lord, we love you. We thank you for loving us and being so gracious to us this day. We pray for any who are sick. We ask, Lord, that you might minister healing to them. We do lift up our country and pray for our leaders as they make difficult decisions. We pray for all those working in the medical field that you'll give them grace and protection and that you'll give them wisdom. And Father, we want you to help us to see souls rescued and that we would see lives changed even in this time and for your name's sake. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In 1 Samuel chapter 30, this is a story of when David was coming home from battle. He'd been out with his men. You'll remember he had those 600 mighty men of valor. And they had been out on maneuvers, on military maneuvers. And on their way back home, they noticed that there's a fire and smoke is coming up from the little village where they were living at the time. They were in Philistine territory in a place called Ziklag. And the closer they got, the more they understood that the fire and the smoke was their houses, and the things that were happening was happening to them. And so when you get to chapter 30 and verse 1, it says, "And it came to pass when David and his men were come to Ziklag on the third day, that the Amalekites had invaded the south and Ziklag and smitten Ziklag and burned it with fire, and had taken the women captives that were in it. They slew not any, either great or small, but they carried them away. And they went on their way. So David and his men came to the city, and behold, it was burned with fire. And their wives and their sons and their daughters were taken captives. Then David and the people who were with him lifted up their voice and wept until they had no more power to weep." And in verse 6 it said, "And David was greatly distressed, for the people spoke of stoning him, because the soul of all the people was grieved, every man for his sons and for his daughters. But David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Now, when you come to this text, one of the things that stands out is the fact that David was God's man. He had been anointed by God to be the king of Israel. He'd not yet taken the throne. Saul was still yet on the throne and was virtually the king. But God had already given David the plans that he had for him. He'd already instructed him that he was his new leader. And so for this to happen to David was a difficult thing indeed for him. And of course, those men coming home, finding out that their homes had been burned, their wives and children had been taken, and of course, all of their belongings were carried away by the Amalekites. And so David is sitting there after having discovered such an awful situation in his life. He's sitting there and he's weeping. And his men, these mighty men of valor, are weeping. And the Bible says they wept until there was no more power for them to weep, to cry, to mourn. They were totally exhausted and discouraged. As you know, the word discourage means to deprive of confidence. It's to bring someone to the point of being depressed or disheartened. And that's where they were. That's where they found themselves that day, was deprived of all confidence. And so I titled this message, "What do you do in life when the bottom falls out? What do you do when all hope is lost?" Probably a pretty good question to ask in these days and times when people are wondering what is going to happen in the future. What's going to happen in life when the bottom falls out? What do I do? Well, I want to show you a few things that David did when the bottom fell out of life. The first thing that David did was he remembered the plans of the Lord. In Psalms 78, we're reminded about the plans of the Lord for David. I'll just turn over there and read some of those briefly. In fact, I hope you have your Bible handy, because we're going to be turning to several scriptures to find out. And I know this is probably subjective, but when you come to that little verse there in verse 6 in 1 Samuel 30, it said, "David encouraged himself in the Lord his God." Evidently, he did something that helped him to remember what the Lord had planned for him and all that God had purposed for him. And he remembered the presence of the Lord who was with him. And so I just want to turn to some Psalms, basically, where David penned the things that we're referring to today. So David remembered the plans that the Lord had for his life. I want you to listen to Psalms 78 and verse 70. It says, "And God chose David his servant and took him from the sheepfolds, from the following of the ewes with great with young. He brought him to feed Jacob, his people, and Israel his inheritance. So he fed them according to the integrity of his heart and guided them by the skillfulness of his hand." Now that tells us a lot right there. First of all, that God, he looked down and saw David where he was, out there tending sheep. And God had a plan for him. He had a purpose for him. And he called him out from that place there on the hills in Judea there in Bethlehem. And he called him to a much larger purpose. Now, you know, being a shepherd was a pretty important job in the day that David lived, but it wasn't anywhere near as important as the job that God was going to give him as being the king and shepherding his people. And so I believe now David has already had that anointing oil. He's already had Samuel come to him, and they've had the sacrifice, and Samuel has said, "You will be king. God is anointing you to be the king of Israel." He's rejected Saul and he's accepted you. He's looked into your heart. He knows who you are. He sees the man that he wants, a man who's after his heart, and he wants you to be the next king of Israel. And I can't help but think on this day that David is sitting there in a burned out village, David helped to encourage himself by saying, "The Lord has plans for me that are much bigger than what I can see. I believe that God has given me the kingdom,
I believe that God has blessed me with things that I haven't even gotten to receive yet. I believe that God has a purpose for my life that involves plenty, and here I am with nothing. I believe God's plans for my life, and I'm going to remember those today when the bottom of my life is falling out. I'm going to remember that God is going to take care of me. I'm also reminded of Psalms 27 when I think about that. So I want to flip over there, and I just want to read a few verses from Psalms 27. It says, beginning in verse 13, I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord. David was encouraging himself when he penned these words. And the encouragement was simply this: I would faint if I hadn't the belief that God is going to take care of me. I would have long since fallen away from the Lord if I hadn't believed that he would strengthen me, that he would provide for me, because he has plans for my life. And so this is just one of the ways that I believe that David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He did it by remembering that God had promised blessing on his life and faithfulness to his life. I'm also reminded of Psalms 37, where David wrote these words down, I believe, as an encouragement for himself and for each of us in times like this. Listen to verses 25 and 26. I have been young, and now I'm old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. He is ever merciful and lendeth, and his seed is blessed. I also want us to think about Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I can't help but think that David remembered that God had purpose for him, that God was going to give him what he needed, even in a situation where the bottom had fallen out of life. Well, not only did David remember the plans that the Lord had for him, but I would say that David remembered the presence of the Lord that was with him. In Psalm 139, you'll remember these words, and I'll read several verses. So if you want to turn over to Psalm 139 and follow along, these are great verses to remember when you're discouraged, when you lose heart, that God's presence is still with you, believer, even in that time. And I can't help but think that David, sitting there in a burned out village, remembers the Lord is with me. Oh Lord, he would write, you have searched me and you know me. You know my downsitting and my uprising. And you understand my thoughts from afar off. You compass my path and my lying down, and you're acquainted with all my ways. For there is not a word in my tongue, but lo, O Lord, you know it altogether. You have beset me behind. You are before me, and you've laid your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me. It is high, I cannot attain unto it. Where could I go, or whither shall I go from your spirit? Or whither shall I flee from your presence? That's a good question that David asks. Is there anywhere we can go where God isn't? If I ascend up to heaven, you're there. If I make my bed in Sheol, behold, you are there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand leads me and your right hand holds me. If I say, surely the darkness shall cover me, even the night shall be light about me. Yes, the darkness hides not from thee, but the night shines as the day. The darkness and the light are both alike to you, O God. You see, David remembered that the Lord would be with him no matter what. If he went to the furthest depths on planet Earth, or if he went to the highest heights of the highest mountain, the Lord would be there, holding his right hand, walking beside him, and he could say anything to God because God's listening. In fact, the Lord said there in those verses, he knew what we were thinking even before it even entered into our minds to think the thought. See, God knows us and God is with us. And I believe David, sitting there in that village with his wife gone, his children gone, his belongings gone, I believe that he looked past the present and remembered that the Lord's presence was with him. He looked past the situation that he was in and remembered that the Lord was always with him, even in that situation. I find also that David remembered the promises of God in situations like this. When the bottom falls out, it helps to remember that God's promised us some things. And over in Psalms 71, I just want to read to you a few verses there, because the psalmist helps us to dig out of the pit sometimes that we find ourselves in. He said that in the Lord, in thee, O Lord, do I put my trust. Let me never be put to confusion. He said this in that same psalm, verse 5. You are my hope, O Lord, O Lord God. You are my trust from my youth. David's saying, Lord, I need to remember that you're always with me, that your presence are always with me, that your strength is always with me, no matter what. He went on to say this in that same chapter, verse 7 of 71. I'm as a wonder unto many, but you are my strong refuge. And then in verse 8 and 9, let my mouth be filled with your praise and with your honor all the day. Cast me not off in the time of old age. Forsake me not when my strength faileth. Verse 12, O God, be not far from me. O my God, make haste, for you are my help. You see, David was mindful, and I can't help but think he was mindful on that day, on that hour, with these men ready to stone him. I can't help but think he was quoting verses that would say things like this. You're my strength. You're my shelter. God, you're my rock and my high tower. God, you will take care of me because you're a very present help in the time of need. So let's just recap real quick if we could. David is found himself in the worst moment of his life up to this time. His wife and children are missing. His belongings are totally gone. His home has been burned with fire, and his men are wanting to stone him for no good reason. And he's sitting there before God, and the Bible says in that 1 Samuel 30, verse 6, that David, he encouraged himself in the Lord his God. He remembered the plans of the Lord. He remembered the purpose of the Lord. He remembered the presence of the Lord and the protection of the Lord. And he remembered the promise of the Lord in his life. You're my rock and my high tower. But if you're to look a little bit closer in that passage, and I want to turn back there for just a moment, I want to read on just a little bit more in this because I think it's very pertinent to our times. David's sitting there and now beginning to encourage himself in the Lord, he begins to pray. The Bible said David inquired of the Lord in verse 8, saying, shall I pursue after this troop? Shall I overtake them? And he answered him, pursue, for you'll surely overtake them and without fail recover all. So David went, he and the 600 men who were with him, and they came to the brook Besor. Pretty fitting for the time, don't you think, that the brook was named Besor, where those that were left behind stayed. But David pursued, and he and 400 men, for 200 abode behind, where because they were so faint, they could not go over the brook Besor. And they found an Egyptian, and in the field they brought him to David, and they gave him bread and gave him something to drink, and they gave him a piece of cake of figs and two clusters of raisins. And when he had eaten it, his spirit came again to him, for he had eaten no bread or drunk any water for 3 days and three nights. And so this Egyptian was brought before David, and David said to him, "To whom belongest thou?" Who do you belong to? "And from where are you?" And he said, "I'm a young man of Egypt." And he said, I'm a servant to an Amalekite, and my master left me because 3 days ago I fell sick. We made an invasion upon the south of the Cherethites and upon the border which belongs to Judah and upon the south of Caleb, and we burned Ziklag with fire." And David said unto him, "Can you bring me down to this company?" And he said, "Swear unto me by God that thou wilt neither kill me nor deliver me into the hands of my master, and I will bring you down to this company." Now, get the picture. Here's an informant that they've come across that'll help them to know where the enemy camp is. And David says, "I'll protect you if you'll tell me." You think this is of God or what? This is God answering the prayer. Remember, there's 400 men, there's David, and 200 of the men were so tired and so depressed, unable to go on, that they stayed behind with the stuff and stayed at the brook Besor. And so this young man, this Egyptian, brings David down, and he shows him the Amalekite army spread out. And there he sees all of his stuff. He surveys the scene. He sees the women and the children. And the Bible said, and David smote them. He rode into that camp, that Amalekite camp, and he smote them from twilight even unto evening of the next day. And there escaped not a man of them, save there were 400 young men who rode upon camels and fled. Now, David put a whooping on these people, and I mean, there's 400 young men that had camels, and that's all David has to fight with, period. And they, with the Lord's help, whip the Amalekite army, and David recovers all that they had carried away, and he rescued his wife, and there's nothing lacking to them, the Bible says, neither small or great, neither sons nor daughters, neither spoil or anything that had been taken from them. David recovered all. Now I want you to notice something. In verse 21, and David came to the 200 men who were so faint that they could not follow David. Now I want to remind you, these are some of the same men that wanted to stone David just a few verses back. And now they couldn't go on and they couldn't fight, but David's gone on and David's fought. He's secured their children, their wives, their belongings. What will David do? Well, I find that when you encourage yourself in the Lord your God, you won't forget the people of God in the process. When you become encouraged from a discouraged, disappointed place in your life, you're going to remember the people around you when God does that for you. Notice what David does. It said, and David came to those men who were too faint to follow him, whom they had made also to stay at the brook Besor, and they went forth to meet David and to meet the people who were with him. And when David came near to the people, he greeted them. Another word that the King James uses is salute. He saluted them. He greeted them. And all the worthless men, the Bible says, that were with David said, don't give them anything. And David said this, because they went not with us, we will not do that, brothers. We will not keep from them what is theirs. But he said, we will give to this man what was theirs. Listen to verse 23. You shall not do that, my brethren, with that which the Lord hath given us, who hath preserved us and delivered the company that came against us in our land. For who will hearken unto you in this matter? But as his part is who goes down to the battle, so shall his part be who tarries with the baggage. We will divide it alike. And so from that day on, that's a statute in Israel. Whether you go fight or whether you stay behind, you get the same stuff. See, David remembered those who really loved him and those who God had put with him. He remembered his family. He remembered his men. And that shows unity. When you're encouraged, you become a person that's a unifier and not a divider. You become a person who is not a critic. You became a person who is one who brings people together. So I just want to recap this with you as I try to make this more applicable to our day and our time. When the bottom falls out of life, you really need to remember the plans that the Lord has for your life. What he started, he will complete it. If he saved you, he's called you into his service, he's given you direction for life, he's not done with you yet. Philippians chapter 1 verse 6 says, being confident of this very thing, that he who had begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Don't forget that God has a purpose and he's not done yet. Remember the presence of the Lord. I will never leave you or forsake you, he said to his disciples and to us. I will come to you and I will not forsake you. His presence is with us. But also remember his promises in days like this. Number one, he's my rock. He's my tower. He's my provider. He's my sustainer. He is my help in times like this. Don't forget his promises. And then when the bottom falls out or when things don't look good and you become discouraged and God's bringing you back to where you need to be, don't forget the people of God. Don't forget those who love you and whom God loves. And encourage them. Bring them up out of that discouragement that they might be in as well. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we just commit ourselves to you and we commit the work that you've given us into your hands. Father, in times like this, help us to find our strength and our courage in you. In Jesus' name.